Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. As always, every time that we gather in the house of the Lord, there's always a word in season. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, when He is come, shall guide us into all truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the truth of your word. And ye shall know the truth, the Bible says, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you, Lord. And speak and teach us, glorify yourself in this word this morning. And as always, we return all the praise and all the glory to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, now this is sequel, a follow-up to the anointing of increase message that we preached a few weeks ago, and we have received tremendous testimonies, and for all those great things that the Lord has done and is doing, let's give him a big round of applause. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I have been praying and seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, help everyone in the church, you know, to be financially stable, help them to get out of debt, and help them to, you know, to be able to, be in abundance, you know, of your goodness and all of that. And of course, the Lord said, yeah, I will help them, but you're going to have to tell them what I tell you to tell them, which I did, you know. And then later on, I said, Lord, well, you know, all of these blessings, and of course, if you were not here or you missed those testimonies, I believe they are on our website. Tremendous testimonies of what the Lord has been doing. And I think there's even more testimonies. You may be hearing more about it. Maybe I'll get a chance for one today or so. But anyway, then after that, I said, Lord, you know, all of this increase and all these blessings, you know, how do we make sure, you know, that, you know, the people keep their blessings, you know, and not, don't let the enemy come in and, steal everything again. And Lord said, well, here's what you need to do then. You need to teach them this. So that's why I'm doing this today. And I told you last week that I was going to do this. Now, this is God's guide to financial independence. This is the biblical guide to financial independence. This is God's own way. You know, so, and we, in this message, you will also find out how we can slay that giant of financial debt. Amen? You know, get rid of those financial shackles so that you can be above only and never be beneath. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Well, I'm going to start here in Psalm 85 and verse 8 is where I'm going to start. So this is what the Lord told, you know, he said, you know, when he gave me instruction to teach this, I will hear what the Lord God will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Amen, somebody. So God's been bringing peace and abundance and goodness into your lives, you know, but he wants you not to turn again to folly. Amen? So we're going to show you how not to do that, you know. And a lot of people are in a lot of problems because of foolishness and lack of wisdom in their lives and so forth. So we're going to find out the biblical pattern for financial independence. That's what we're talking about today. You know, so I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. I'm going to try to run through it very quickly, you know, because it's a long teaching. I hope I can finish it today. If not, maybe I'll come back and finish it later. But, and that's why I wanted you to write these things down, you know. So I'm going to talk about success in general, and then I'm going to concentrate on financial success or financial independence, you know, how God wants you to stay above and not beneath. You know, and how you can do that, you know. Now remember, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and if you will turn with me to that, the Bible talks about various cycles various times in our lives and the things that, you know, God allows. You know, there's good times, there's challenging times, there's, you know, all kinds of things, you know, and we go through this all the time. So here's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and listen to what it says. It says, starting at verse 1, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, and so forth. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and so on and so forth." So it begins to tell you all these things. Listen to verse 6. "A time to get." Listen to that. "And a time to lose, if you're not careful." So this is where the message and the teaching is going this morning, so you don't lose. Amen. Alright, but these things are natural, you know, there's a time to keep, you know, there's a time, you know, all these things, you know, so there's ups and downs. You've heard, we've preached about that all the time. There's always valleys and mountains, there's highs and lows, there's light, there's darkness, there's everything, you know, it's always like that, you know, so, and there's times of plenty, and there's times of adversity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, we are told that God allows these things, you know, the times of goodness, the times of plenty, and then the times of adversity sometimes, you know. He says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, because God has set one over against the other. In other words, God put them side by side, you know, to the end that we should find nothing after Him. He wants you always to seek for Him. So He allows these things. Well, but we're going to show you today, you know, by the grace of God, how you can be up most of the time rather than down. Amen? Praise you in the name of the Lord. So let's talk about success in general. You know, how does God define success? Or how does He define the road to success? You know, how are you going to do these things? You know, now this is a biblical, standard. This is the Word of God. This is not, this is not some mentoring and some things from the world and all that kind of stuff. No, this is straight from the Master Himself. Hello, somebody. This book here is the Book of Life, the blueprint. It's got the blueprint for success. It's right here. So let's start at, Psalms 1 and verses 1 to 3. He says, "Blessed is the man or woman," you know, anybody, you know, that loves the Lord, that keeps His commandment and so forth, is the one that we're talking about, the man here, you know. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." That's this word right here. "And in His law he doth meditate day and night." And what is the result of, you know, meditating day and night and keeping the word of God? "He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Well, you know, God, he put it right out there. You know, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, so God has a way and a plan for us to prosper. You know, and not just prosper in some things, but prosper in whatsoever that you do. Amen? Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 real quick. And stay with me now in this, because, you know, I'm just laying a foundation. We're going to get very deep in this in a few minutes. Joshua chapter 1, let me read to you verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." You know, so you must speak the word of God. You know, you must always speak the word. Don't, you know, that's why I say in your mouth. "It must not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous." Amen? And thou shalt have good success. You know, so right away we are laying a foundation that God's, you know, definition of success comes from obeying and following and adhering to the word of God and not departing from left to right. Well, that's also because inside his word is his pattern for how you can succeed. You know, and not, you know, how you can, you know, stay above and not beneath. Now, this is success in general, but today I'm going to focus on, you know, how, you know, you can do well with the increase that God has been bringing into your lives. Now, remember, you know, what God has been doing in increasing us, you know, this is what God wants to do. Remember, we've talked about that. God doesn't want you to just have barely enough. God wants you to have pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Amen? That's right. God is, everything he does is in abundance. You know, he said that you might have abundant life. You know, I came that they might have abundant life, and so forth like that. You know, but, you know, we see that we don't always attain because we don't use the wisdom, and we don't walk in his ways like he wanted us to do. So, let's read a few things. Let's establish a few things here this morning, you know, and show that, look, you know, we want to connect all the dots. You know, what God wants us to do, how he wants us to get to the place where we are above only and not beneath. Where we are lenders and not borrowers. Amen? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses, 32 and 33 from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember, you know, the God's word, you know, that he gives, it won't profit if we don't, you know, follow it, obey it, or let it be mixed with faith in our hearts. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 5, reading from verse 32. Now, you shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Still talking about following his ways and his word. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that ye may live. And that it may be well with you. And that ye may prolong your days. Even long life comes from following the word of God. Amen. You know, in the land which you shall possess. You know, so God begins to tell them all these things. And, you know, and so forth like that. And lest you think otherwise, I want you to know that it is the Lord your God that gives you the power to get wealth and to get increase. Amen? I'm sure everybody knows that, but let me tell it to you from the scriptures, just so you write it down for your notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, he said, look, you will remember the Lord thy God. See, because when you begin to increase, just like he has been increasing, we receive tremendous testimonies. You know, just like God begins to increase you, you will remember the Lord your God. You know, that it is he that gives you the power to get well. Because there's a reason he does that. He wants to establish his covenant with you. Amen? Praise God. The covenant which he swore to the fathers and so forth. So that is Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But how does God do it? You know, he actually will guide you. You know, he's got a pattern of how to guide you. And not only will he guide you with the written word, if you obey the written word, you know, he will also guide you with a spoken word, you know, and one-on-one guidance from the Lord, you know, but it starts by first understanding the written word and following the written word of God. Now, listen to this. In the Psalms 32 and verse 8, the Lord says that, look, he is going to instruct you in the way that you should go, and he is going to guide you with his own very eye. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. And I will guide you with my eye. So how he will guide you into not only getting an increase or increase all the time, but to be able to keep the increase and stay above and not beneath. Listen to this other promise in Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. This is still talking about the, you know, the same kind of thing. God is the one that is doing this. God is the one that is guiding you. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He said, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit. Hello, everybody. The Lord is the one that teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee the way that thou should go. So it's the same thing. God's going to teach you how to profit, you know, and God doesn't want you to have this increase to put it in a bag of holes. Because then it doesn't do any good. He wants you, you know, to have the increase and enjoy it. For a man to enjoy the goodness and the blessings of God and so forth, it is the gift of God. Amen. So that's God wants us to enjoy this thing. So that's why, you know, we are, you know, teaching like this. But you must believe the Lord. And you must obey His word. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, Jehoshaphat, he brings out a very important principle. He says, you know, believe the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe also His prophets, and so shall ye prosper. You know, you must believe the word of God. You know, and you, those of you that acted upon the word of God in the anointing of increase, you've seen the things that God has been doing in your life. You know, because you acted and you believed, and then, you know, so, but you must continue to believe the word of God. Now, I've laid that foundation, you know, and I want you to know also that, you know, it is God's will to supply all of your needs. It is His intention to do that as well. Amen? My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4 and 19. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's not even according to your job. Amen? That's not according to the job you have or don't have. It is according to His own riches. But when He brings those riches your way, you know, He also then demands good stewardship. Hello, everybody. So I'm going to take a few minutes now and talk about good stewardship. Stewardship, because when God puts these things into your hands, He begins to bring increase into your life. He begins to bless you. You know, all of a sudden you receive, you know, a raise. You get more money. Your business is booming and things are just happening. God is just blessing. Well, what does God require of you then? So let's talk about the stewardship of what God requires. Now, for you to have proper management of the blessings and the finances that God brings your way, you know, that's good stewardship and God requires it. In the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, we are told that, so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen? Every one of us. You will give account. You know? Now, of course, that covers every aspect of our lives. You know, but I'm talking specifically in this area this morning, you know, but that scripture covers every aspect of our life. But we know that we are going to give account, you know, and there is stewardship. But there are stories in the Bible, parables in the Bible that Jesus told about stewardship. There's a parable He told in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to give you the paraphrase. He told the story of the talents and, you know, so forth that, you know, somebody, you know, the man gave out, and the master gave out, and then, you know, to his servants and so forth. And the one that received, you know, 10 or 5 or 2, and the one that received 1. You know that story. So I'm not going to go too much into that. But what I want to bring out into that is that he did talk about, you know, accountability. Because there came a time when he said, it is time now for you to give account of what I put in your hand, what you did with it. You know, so one came and said, well, you know, you gave me 5, I made 5 more. He said, all right, great. You gave me 2, I made 2 more. All right, great. The other one, he didn't do so well with it, you know, of course, you know. So, but accountability is a thing that I want to bring out of that. Luke 19, verses 12 to 26 will also tell you a similar story, you know, where, you know, the same kind of thing, looking for accountability. So this is what we are talking about today. You know, we must give account of the things that God is putting into our lives. Amen? Now, here's a very important principle. Here's a very important principle that God works with regarding accountability and regarding how God will increase you if you are faithful. Now, in Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read this one. In Luke chapter 16, I am going to read from verses 10 to 12. So you can mark it down, and I'm going to read that. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust, you know, in the least, is going to be unjust also in that which is much. So this is what God is saying. When God puts a little into your hands and you are unfaithful in that, well, you know, you may be unfaithful in a bigger one. So if he can't, you know, really trust you with a little, why give you more? You know. But if you are faithful in the little, then he's going to give you more. Amen. So that's a very important principle, you know, now. And listen to verse 11. If ye therefore have not been faithful, you know, in the unrighteous mammon, the money and all of these things, if you are not faithful in it, you know, who is going to commit to you, you know, the true riches? The true riches. Wow. And remember, God always uses natural things to precede spiritual things. You know, so even if he puts natural blessings in your hands, that's preceding, you know, spiritual things. If you are unfaithful in those, you know, how is he going to commit to your hands, you know, true riches, the real riches? You know, how is he going to do that? Well, but listen to verse 12. You know, and this is for everybody in here. You know, if you are on the job or whatever, you know, unless you're working for yourself. But most people that have a job in here, they're working for somebody else. So this is for you. So take note of this. This is a very important principle. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, then who shall give unto you that which is your own? You know, so most people when they have a job, that's another man's. You're working for somebody else. Now, if you're not faithful on that job, you know, how's God going to give to you yours? This is Jesus talking. This is a very important principle, and a lot of people don't know this. You know, so when you are on that job, you need to do that job faithfully. Amen? Amen. Praise God. No matter what the job is, if you don't like the job, then don't take it. If you take that job, then you better do that job faithfully, because that's what the Bible says. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen? Now these are very important principles, and we're going somewhere with this teaching this morning. You know, if you are not doing the job that you are on heartily, you are guilty of this commandment right here. Because this is God commanding you, whatever you're doing, you know, whether you're on the job or whatever you are, do it as heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. The same thing for students. You say, well, I'm not working and so forth. It doesn't matter. You're a student, do it heartily. You're studying for your exams, do it heartily. Anything that you are doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen? And not unto men. You know, even children, same thing. Your parents tell you to do chores. You know, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. You know, so, now, listen to this. Knowing that, verse 24, knowing that ye shall, that's Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall also receive for the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. If you do well, you will receive the reward. If you do wrong, you will also receive the reward for that. There's no respect of persons. You know, so, you know, if you are not doing the right thing, you know, which is right in the eyes of the Lord, and I want you to take a quick look at Exodus 15 and 26. What he talks about there is, you know, he said, look, these are the things that you must do, you know, in order for me to heal you and make sure that you, you know, none of these sicknesses and none of these diseases come unto you. That's Exodus 15 and 26. But there is something I want to point out there. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight. Now that is not what people think is right. But what is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen? You know, so look, this is not eye service. This is not, you know, whatever. You must do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. You know, and that means even for him to bless you, or for you to be able to sustain the blessings that he's bringing your way, you must do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. You must also give ear to his commandments, and you must keep all his statutes. So that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, let's take a look at, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Let's take a look at, you know, debt. You know, and why are people in debt? You know, first of all, for you to understand that you should not be in debt, you know, you all need an attitude adjustment. Amen? Praise God. You know, an attitude adjustment is necessary because, you know, God's people, the saints, should not be in debt. Hello? That's right. You know, so, you know, and, well, of course, we don't trust in riches, you know, and all that, you know, so, no. But as long as we are in this world, we need these things. Amen? You know, and you all know that better than anybody else. Everybody is complaining the economy is this and all of that and so forth. Well, first of all, you know, by the time you go through this lesson here today, you shouldn't be worrying about the economy. Amen? That's right. You know, I'm not worried about the economy. You know, they can do anything they want about it. You know, my life is not tied to man's economy. Amen? Praise God. You know, y'all should belong to a different economy. And there's a different set of economic rules in God's kingdom. And that's what we're teaching here this morning. It's different from, you know, I don't care who's in the White House. You know, they can do anything they want. You know, that's their kingdom. This is God's kingdom. And I am part of God's kingdom. And we operate under kingdom rules. You know, but a lot of believers don't know what those kingdom rules are. Many people are operating. Some of you are sitting here this morning. You've been operating under the rules of the kingdoms of this world. And that's why you're not prospering. You know, God wants to take you from that, translating you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his glorious Son. You know, there is an attitude change that is required. Hallelujah. Some people call it a paradigm shift, or whatever it is. You know, you got to change your attitude. You got to recognize that first, well, we don't trust in riches. You know, Paul instructed Timothy, he told him in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. I'm giving a lot of scriptures, you know, that's why this is not a preaching, this is a teaching. That's why I told you to take notes. Because some people say, oh, you don't give so many scriptures. Well, this is a teaching, so I got to give a lot of scriptures. You know, so it's your responsibility to keep up with the scriptures. You know, write them down, check them out later. Paul told Timothy, teach them not to trust in uncertain riches. That's 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. So, we're not trusting in uncertain riches. You know, but, you know, there is a principle where God wants us to know that we should not be in debt. Let me give you another scripture and I go back to this issue of not being in debt. In Luke chapter 12, you know, God doesn't want us to trust in uncertain riches. You know, Luke chapter 12. Let me quickly tell you this story. Of course, there was this man, you know, that trusted in his riches, trusted in all that he could do. Luke chapter 12. Let me read from verse 15 to verse 21. Jesus was talking here. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So I want to set that record straight. Just because we are teaching like this, you know, we're not, you know, listen, I am not, you know, in case you're new and this is the first time that you're here or whatever, you know, I am not some prosperity preacher. Hello? Praise God. You know, I don't believe in all that stuff that they preach on television, you know. But I believe in the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. But I am going to show you that the way that you give, you know, to the Lord is after that the Lord has already blessed you. Not before. You know, not, you know, bring this money and God is going to do this, which, you know, all those tricks they use out there, you know. So, let me set the record straight on that. You know, I don't believe in any of that stuff, you know. You know, I've actually heard people say, look, you give me $1,000 and the Lord's going to give you $10,000. Well, if I have $1,000, I'm just going to keep that $1,000. You know, I'm not going to give it to you, you know. And, but see, those preachers also, let me throw this in right away. They don't do what they teach. Hello? Because they always say, look, you know, God is going to supply your needs and do all of this as well. Why don't they believe that God will supply their own needs as well? Why they got to take an offering from somebody? You know, let God supply their own needs as well. Amen? Praise God. Well, I just throw that in there. So, you know, this is not what this is about at all, you know. But, you know, there's this man in this Luke chapter 12. You know, he said, look, his ground brought forth abundantly, and he was doing very well, you know, his business or whatever you might call it. You know, in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, look, what am I going to do? I don't have even enough room, you know, to keep all this. So, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy rest, eat, drink, and to be merry, and so forth. And then God said to him, thou fool, tonight God is going to require your soul. What are you going to be, all those things then, and so forth. This man trusted in uncertain riches. And he forgot that these riches will soon fly away. You know, so, you know, this is a bad use. This is an example what God wants us not to be. You know, don't place, you know, Bible says when riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. Don't place your heart on these things. Amen? You know. So I want to make sure that that's clear. But nevertheless, we still got to know how to manage these things. You know, a person that lays up treasure on earth here and is not rich towards God, this is in Luke 12:21. You know, it's going to be like this man. He gained everything and at the end he lost it all and lost his soul too. So that's not what we should do. You know. But let me show to you that from the scriptures, you know, that having riches, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to have our riches. I mean, the riches, we already preached that in the anointing of increase message, so we know that. We settle that, you know. But I also want to show to you that being in debt is contrary to God's will for you. You know, so I want to settle that in here this morning, you know. Those of you that are living a life of being in financial debt, you are outside of God's will. That is not God's will. So I'm going to settle that right here this morning in the scriptures. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. There's a simple principle here in Romans 13 and verse 8. There's a simple principle that God says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. So don't be in debt, you know, to anybody, you know, and so forth, you know. That's, you know, that's reading between the lines. But let's look at some that is more specific. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And I'm just going to read one verse, in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 15. And I'm going to give you some other verses real quick. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 6. You know, let's see what the Lord does not want us, you know, to live, you know, to live a life of borrowing. Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord thy God himself, you know, blessed thee, as he has promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Hello, somebody. Thou shalt not sorrow. Thou shalt reign over many, but they shall not reign over thee. You know, well, God said, thou shalt not borrow. Do you know that in the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, that the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender? The borrower is servant to the lender. That's in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. Now, if you take that and tie that to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23, you are told that ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. God does not want us to be a servant of men. So, let's read also in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. God wants you to be a lender and not a borrower. Hello? God wants you to be above only and not beneath. You know, so that's what he says in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So the Lord doesn't want us to be borrowing and all that. Now, let me show us a few other things that we need to learn concerning how God wants us to manage the increase that he's putting into our hands. You know, right off the bat, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase. All this increase that the Lord's bringing into you, into your hands. First fruits is what he wants, not last fruits. Amen? Amen? Most people give to God last fruits. God doesn't want last fruits. God must be first place in our lives or no place at all. I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. He will not be, anything but first place. And he will not take anything but first place in our lives. So he wants us to honor him with the first fruits of all our increase. What does that mean? Well, exactly what it says. If the Lord gives you increase, honor him with the first fruits. That's what he says. You know, and we talked on this before, you know, one time, several months ago, you know, when I lay the foundation, what God has to say about tithing and offering and so forth like that, you know, and let me just throw this in here, you know, just in case you still don't understand that, you know, for those of you that even pay your tithes or give tithes, you know, well, under the New Testament, we give tithes, we don't pay tithes, they pay tithes under the Old Testament. I don't have time to explain the difference between those two, but I did before in another teaching. But, you know, for you to even give the tithes, it's got to be first fruits and not last fruits. Now, what do you mean by first fruit? Well, if you receive your paycheck, that means it should be off your gross and not your net. If you give in to God off your net, that's not exactly first fruits. Because the IRS will take their own, your 401k will take its own, your 403k will take its own, and all these other savings plans and so forth, and everything else will take their own, then you give to God at the bottom. That's not first fruits. Hello, somebody. That may be strange to some of you, but that's the truth. You know, and You give to God. You know, the Bible says, whosoever honoreth me, glorifieth me. You glorify God by giving him first fruits and see what the Lord will do for you. Amen? That's right. Don't you ever think that anything is too much to give to the Lord. And for you young people, let me tell you this. You know, you can say, well, gee, I have $10 allowance. I can't give $1. Well, you know, how are you going to be able to give $10 when you have 100? Or how are you going to give $100 when you have 1,000? Just think about it. You know, some people can't give because they think, well, it's too much. If I give, I won't have enough. Well, you won't have enough if you don't give. That's right. You know, so it was the Lord's to start with. And he putting it in your hands to test you and to see whether you will be faithful. You know, and I have learned this, and I can tell you this. You know, look, I told the Lord, but there was a man in my house last week, came to show us something, you know, remodeling and so forth. And he asked me a question. I said, no, I don't do that. I said, you know, and he said, why not? Talking about financing and so forth. I said, no. And I said, because, one, first of all, I'm teaching people in the church. I told him, I said, I'm teaching people in the church to stay away from this kind of thing. And I said, if I myself do the same thing that I'm telling people not to do, I will be the least in the kingdom of God. Hello? That's right. So what I'm telling you today is what I am practicing and I have practiced for years. I'm not telling you anything in theory that I haven't done. You know, praise God. You know, when you cannot outgive the Lord. Let's just put it that way. You can never outgive the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So give him, honor him with the first fruits, not the last fruits. Let him take first place. Praise God. You know, I didn't learn this, you know, secret until 1987. But in 1987, the Lord taught it to me. I learned it. And since then, I have learned it. I've received a few paychecks, a lot of paychecks, in several years. But I never give anything off the net. I never do. I always give off the gross. Because it was God's to start me. Amen? You know, praise God. Well, this is not about myself. You know, but I'm just showing you that these are things. But if you don't start when you have a little, you'll never be able to do when you have much more. Because you'll say, think it's too big. Well, I have even given entire paychecks to the Lord. That's right. Because it was his to start with. It doesn't bother me at all. Amen? And he has met and continues to meet all my needs. Amen? Praise God. So I'm not worried about that. But that's not what this is about. I just threw that in because, you know, I've got to not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. You know, I've got to say everything that the Lord asked me to tell you this time so that I will, you know that I've discharged my duties faithfully in that respect. So that is why I threw this in. This is not for you to come and give an offering or anything like that. We already gave the offering this morning. This is just teaching you how you should do that when you do that. Praise the name of the Lord. So, based on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10, he says, look, honor the Lord with thy soul and the first, you know, fruits of all of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out new wine. So, you know, when the Lord blesses you, you give. You know, don't put the cart before the horse, or however they say, you know. So, he said, honor him with the first fruit of your increase. He didn't say it before the increase. Honor him when you get the increase. Amen? And a lot of you gotten the increase, so honor the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. That's right. So that's how you do that. You know, so. But I also want to say something right now. I want to point out that there is a difference, you know, between the basket and the storehouse. I want to point that out. You know, in Deuteronomy 20, Deuteronomy 28 that we read, let me go back to that for just a minute and point something out to you real quick about the basket and the storehouse. Now, the basket, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy storehouse. The store means storehouse. You know, this verse we read in Proverbs 23, 3, 9, and 10 reminded me of that storehouse. So there is a difference between the basket and the storehouse. The basket is for now. The storehouse is for later. Hello? God will bless your basket. You eat out of the basket right now, and you put it in the store as well. Now, I'm going to be talking about that in the last half, which starts now, of this teaching. Because some people don't know the difference. You know, they don't know the difference at all between the basket and the storehouse. You know, so I want you to think about that for a minute. I said the Lord will bless your basket and also bless your storehouse. You know, so think about that for a minute. And while you are thinking about that, let me ask you some few questions. I'll come back to that basket and storehouse in a minute. Let me ask you some few questions. This is, you know, self-examination, if you will. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Now, I want you to examine yourself. This is a self-wellness check. Self-check for financial wellness. For yourself. Do it for yourself, you know, so to speak. Ask yourself this question. You know, there may some of these questions, you know, that I'm about to pose to you, you know, and see where you stand. You don't need to give me the answer. Just answer it truthfully to yourself, you know. I mean, is it hard for you, or can you cheerfully give an offering or tithe or whatever it is that you give, or is it difficult for you? I mean, do you look at that and find it hard to do? You know, I mean, how are you managing your finances right now? You know, what things are you spending money on? Are you a compulsive shopper? I mean, if you go to the store, must you buy anything that's on sale? Hello? And that's how they get you. And I tell you that it's on sale after they've already jacked up the price. You know, and I always ask, you know, is it 20% off? It's 20% off of what? Praise God. So you don't know what it is. You know, you better know the real price. They'll jack up the price first and then they'll slash it. And they'll still get more out of you. Amen? That's right, they do that too. You know, so, but are you a compulsive shopper? I mean, you go to the store, you know, to, you know, buy one thing and you end up buying 10 things. You know. And you know, how many of you know that those super stores and supermarkets and so forth, you know, they shuffle their items around all the time. They do studies on these things, you know, and they watch, you know, those shoppers and so forth. They shuffle around and so forth. So all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to buy milk, you know, because milk is what you came there to buy. But, you know, you find out that they put non-food items in the milk aisle now. Because they think that, well, while you're shopping for milk, you're going to see this thing over here. Then you buy it as well. You know. So, you know, but those are just simple things. Those are even necessities, you know, groceries and so forth. But what about when you go to the department stores? You know, do you just go there and buy things that you don't need? Or more importantly, do you buy things that you don't have money to buy? Hello? A lot of people in here do that. When you buy something with money that you don't have, that's borrowing. And God doesn't want you to borrow. God doesn't want you to be in debt. You know, when you buy money off of your credit card and so forth, some people start with a little. They say, well, you know, I'll pay it off, you know, and so forth. Well, yeah, but then they don't pay it off. And then the next thing they know, they are in chains around this thing, you know. And then, where does that lead you? You know, or, you know, I mean, you go and just don't even have wise counsel in how you do your things, you know. Some people have payments on everything. You know, have payment on a car, payment on the house, payment on the this, and payment on the that. You know, I mean, some people pay $500-$600 to drive a car a month. You know, the car that you as soon as you drive it out of that showroom, it's already depreciated. Why would you be doing that kind of thing? You know, and then you know you go into all those things because you got a job right now. What happens when you lose that job? You know, Remember, there's always night and day. Amen? There's always good times and there's always challenging times, you know. But, you know, when people don't use wisdom, you know, could you even balance your account? Do you even know? I mean, simple things. Some people don't even know how much money is in their account. They leave it up to the banks. Well, the banks can't help you with that. You know, that's your responsibility to balance your own account. Amen? That's right. I'm not getting a lot of amens here this morning. But that's your responsibility to balance your own account. It's not the bank's responsibility. Let me tell you why it is not. Because sometimes when you present your debit card or whatever, you know, to the merchant, they may not run that thing for several days. And you may be thinking you still have that money if you're just looking at what the bank thinks is your balance. Hello? Because they haven't submitted all the purchases that you made. It's your responsibility to balance that. And if you are unable to even do these basic things, you know, if you are unfaithful in that which is least, who's going to put into your hands real riches? I mean, how's God going to trust you with some real finances if you cannot take care of these little things, you know? So, we need a new attitude. Amen?
Amen.
And for the sake of time, I'm just going to jump ahead and give you the punchline right now. Hello? This is the punchline for this teaching. So let me just give it to you now in case I run out of time. This is the punchline. Now, and here it is. You ready? The more that God puts into your hand, the more increase that God gives you, the more abundance that God brings your way, the less you should spend. That's the punchline for today. Got awfully quiet in here this morning. And if I didn't tell you that, I would be amiss in what God told me to tell you. See? And this is the reason why a lot of people are in hardships. Because God already knows everything. Everything. And I will give you this classic story in the Bible, which you all know. So I'm not going to take time to, you know, read all of it. But how many of you know the story of Joseph in the Bible in Genesis? You know the story? Okay. So this story in Genesis chapter 41, because Joseph was in Egypt, sold into slavery and all of that. But Pharaoh has this dream. He saw the seven fat cows and then the seven lean cows. How many of you know that story? And then again, he saw the seven, you know, fat ears of corn and then the lean ones. You know, so God is showing him that not only in the cattle, but also in the corn, you know, there's going to be various things happening. You know, so. And nobody could figure out what it was. So Joseph, he comes by the gift of supernatural knowledge. But he backs that out with the word of wisdom. And he tells them what to do. And he saves the whole world. Amen. At that time. And here's what he told him. He said, these seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn and so forth, you know, that means your land's going to be, you're going to be doing well in your cattle, you're going to be doing well in your corn and so forth. It's going to be abundance everywhere. The land is going to yield tremendous increase for 7 years. You know. But did Joseph say, hey, now, all you got to do is party. Just party for the next 7 years. I mean, just blow it all and spend it all, you know, and just have a great time. Did he say that? No. He said, you set it up. He said, save up the increase and save up the excess and save up the abundance. Because as surely as this increase has been given, after that, it's going to come 7 lean years and you will forget the increase. I said, well, you know, that was a different concept to them because usually, you know, when they had any increase, they just had a party. They spent it all. There's a lot of people sitting in here today and some people that will be listening to this later on, you know, that your modus of operandi in the past has been, whenever there is increase, you just go on a shopping spree. You go on a spending spree, you know, and so forth like that. Well, you know, let me tell you something. God gave you that increase. God gave you abundance now because of the rainy day. Hello, somebody. He's giving you abundance. That, see, God only has to give you enough, you know, for you to be, all right? So if God gives you more than enough, what do you think? That's because he already knows there's coming a time that there will be some lack. And he already gave it to you for you to put in the storehouse. So there is a difference between the basket and the storehouse. Now, some people only have basket, you know, which is eat it all and so forth like that, you know. But there's also the storehouse. And you know, some Christians, they say, well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't think about your what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Don't even take thought for the morrow, because the morrow will take thought for itself. You know, they say, well, so we don't need to think about that and so forth. You're dead wrong. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about anxiety. You don't need to have anxiety for what shall we eat, what shall we wear, and so forth. You don't need that kind of anxiety. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen? But he's not talking about not making provision. Oh no. I mean, just all you have to do is read the story that he tells in Luke chapter 14. And then he begins to talk about, you know, somebody who, you know, he said, look, what do you think? In Luke 14, he talks about, you know, if a person, you know, wants to build, you know, a house or a mansion, and he doesn't plan, and he doesn't put, you know, things away, and he doesn't have enough, and then less happily when he starts, you know, he's unable to finish, Luke 14 and 28, you know, then people mock him, and, you know, just laugh at him, because he didn't have any foresight, you know, or he wants to go to war, and he didn't count the cost, you know, then he starts and then he finds out he can't go the length of it, and then he gets into trouble. So Jesus is not telling you not to think about the future. You know, he's not telling you that at all. In fact, we are told in Proverbs chapter 6, you know, verses 6 to 8, we are told to go to the ant. God said, look, you want to know about how to take care of yourself? You know, go and study the ant. He said the ant, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant. The ant has no king. They have no ruler over them, but they provide, you know, their meat, you know, in the summer. They take care of things in the summer and put it away for the winter. Hello? These principles are throughout the Bible. And this is the reason why people lack. Because when God has already furnished your finances for the days of want, you blow it all in a moment of ecstasy or whatever you think, you know, you have, and then when the time of lack or adversity comes, then you have a real difficulty. Use wisdom in what you do when God blesses you. And then what will happen is this, you know, when you're down, when God has already provided the increase and you wasted it, you know, then what will happen is when you're down and you're crying to God, the Lord will say, well, I already took care of that. Hello? Because he already took care of it. See, that's why we have that beautiful story in Genesis 41. You know, and God laid it out there, and these things that are in the Bible are written for our examples. So God took care of it. You know, it gave them plenty so that they can store it up for the days of adversity. You know, but most people, they do the opposite. Well, this is what I do. Every time God gives me increase, and that's all the time, you know, I spend less. I mean, less. When I get more, I spend even less. Because as sure as you're getting more now, there's coming a time when you're going to need it, that you won't have it. But God already provided it because he has foreknowledge of all things. Amen? So the increase that God is putting into your hands today, right now, and since we preach the anointing of increase, tremendous testimonies that we have heard. What are you going to do with it? You know, remember, it's not all for the basket. There should be some for the storehouse as well. Hello, somebody. Now, of course, this is not this lesson is not on investment or anything like that. You know, that's not what this is about. And I'm not counseling you on where to, you know, to save or what to do and so forth. But I am telling you this, you know, that, you know, God, because of his foreknowledge, has foreseen the future. And when he puts that excess into your hands, it's because he knows that you are going to need it. But if you blow it away when you don't really need it, then you really need it, you're going to cry. And the Lord said, well, I will have them in derision. I will laugh at their calamities, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. He said, they are sottish, they are foolish people, because they perish for lack of wisdom and lack of understanding. Well, it is my responsibility this morning to make you understand this wisdom. Amen? That's right. Understand this wisdom. When God blesses you and you have increase, well, lay away for the rainy day. That's the best way that I can say it. You know, we can deal with how do you wear, what do you do, and how do you lay away. We can deal with that later on. That's not this subject. But the thing is this, if you don't lay away and you squander or consume all the increase that God is giving you over, you know, just for nothing, you know, then there's coming a time when you will need it. And you won't be able, you know, to take care. Now, for those of you who are in debt right now, some of you may even be in collections or this and that and so forth. I mean, just all you have to do is think about how did you get here? You know, how did you get here? You know, now, I've been counseling some people over the last few years, young couples and different things especially. I tell them, look, you need to get out of debt. You know, and I'm going to invite a young man in a few minutes to give his testimony. You know, he had all kinds of debt. And I told him, you need to get out of debt. Well, you know, of course, the things that I said were, you know, the Bible says, look, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But that's only to those that perish. You know, but for those that are called, you know, it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, so when we tell you some things, it may sound foolish, but you better pay attention, you better listen, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and I told him how to get away from all those indebtedness and so forth. Well, a little time goes by, and he listens, and my lands, he's got a tremendous testimony that he's going to share with you in a few minutes. But let me close with this. Now, there's a lot more that I can say, but I want, on account of time, I want to keep this down. I'm going to summarize the things that I told you. You know, first I want to tell you and repeat that God does not want you to be in debt. Amen? Amen. But you say, well, I'm already in debt. Well, yeah, that's why God's giving you an increase now. To get out of debt. Amen. So you need to clear those debt. And God, you know, I prayed and I sought the Lord. Not for myself, because I'm not in debt. But I prayed and I sought the Lord for the people in this church. And I said, Lord, help my people to get out of debt. And that's when the Lord gave me that anointing of increase message. He said, you tell them to do this, and I will help them, you know, and so forth. You know, and I've seen how God's been helping people and so forth. And God even blessed even those who are not in debt to have an abundance and so forth. And God's blessing people. But that's the reason, because there's, you know, he wants you to manage what he's giving you, because there's coming a time that you might need it. I mean, there's coming a time when you may not have. You know, look at even the seasons, how they teach us that. You know, there's rainy season, and then there is dry season. Even those in farming, you know, they know that, farmers know that one year they may have plenty. The next year it may be pests that will destroy their harvest. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, it goes up and down like that and so forth. You know, so, you know, when they have, and that's where there's a lot of waste, you know, if they have too much abundance in one season, and they don't know how to store those things up, you know, for the seasons where there is not much production, then there'll be a lot of waste. So God, you know, He teaches us all these things, you know, store, look at what the way the ant does it, and so forth. Now, what people do when they don't have enough is they borrow. Do you know the reason why people are so apt to borrow and so apt to get into debt? Because they are not trusting in the Lord. Hello? You're not trusting in the Lord to supply all your need according to His riches and glory, so you think that you can go into debt to do it. Well, that's not God's way. You're only going to give yourself a lot of headache, a lot of heartache, and a lot of problems. And I've seen people start from a little debt to bigger debt, to more debt, and so forth. And pretty soon, it's like quicksand. And they're just drowning, and they can't get out of this thing. You know, don't go there. Amen? Amen. Those of you who are out of debt, don't go into debt. I will hear what the Lord will say to His people. Psalm 85 verse 8. That's where we started. He will now speak peace and prosperity, but let not His people go back again to folly. If you are out of debt, stay out of debt. And if you are not yet out of debt, God will help you to get out of debt. And if you need more counseling, I will be glad to help you on one-on-one on how to get out of debt. But you must understand that you need to get. The reason I'm preaching this message like this is because after a message like the anointing of increase, which everybody is enjoying and so forth, I cannot take the time, you know, one-on-one, everybody, teach everybody that they do this. So I have to teach here in the church that if you don't know what to do, you know, the last phase or the last stage may be worse than the first, if you don't know what to do. You know, but if you know what to do, God is already putting in your hands, you know, over the last few weeks and through this teaching today of how to always be, you know, say the Lord shall make sure that you have all sufficiency in all things, that you may be able to abound unto every good work. God is putting into your hand a way to have sufficiency all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that the days that you may not have had sufficiency, God has already provided for it in advance. You know. But if you didn't recognize that and just squandered it all, then you will be in a situation where you don't always have sufficiency. But God wants you to always have sufficiency. God doesn't want you to borrow. God does not want you to borrow. And God does not want you to rob Peter to pay Paul either. You know, some people borrow money and they can't pay it, and they borrow some more to pay off the one they borrowed. Hello? You know, you borrow from A, you can't pay it, then you borrow from B to pay A. Then how are you going to pay B? You borrow from C to pay B. People do that even on credit cards as well. Well, that's not God's part. You know, if you have been doing all of that and so forth, well, you know, either through foolishness, you know, or through foolhardiness, perhaps God warned you, stay out of debt, but you didn't listen, and now you find yourself in all this problem, you need to repent. You say repent? Wow, yeah, sure. You know, this, you know, because if you don't, you know, you're going to be also wound up, you won't have real peace and real enjoyment of the blessings of God. You know, and when God is truly blessing you, when you are in so much debt, instead of you enjoying debt and having abundance and using that abundance, you know, because abundance is also a way of God flowing over to others. Your life can impact others when you have abundance. But if you are in so much debt, you know, every increase that God will give to you, you'll be using it to service the debt instead of being in abundance. And you won't be getting anywhere. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know, so stay out of debt. And if you're already in debt, the Lord already showed you 3 weeks ago what to do, how to get out of it. And if you believe God, you know, you stay with that anointing. You believe with that anointing of increase, and God will open doors unto you which you've never thought before. Just to help you, He'll give you a lift. Praise God. And in a few weeks, by the grace of God, I'm going to come back and preach on something different. Well, not different, but, you know, expand on it, you know, where God is going to give you a total lift. Hallelujah. God is going to take you and put you it's going to be complete. Amen. But before we get there, we've got to be good stewards, you know, So, you know, the little that God's putting your hands on, you know, he wants to make sure that you know how to manage it, because he can't put bigger things in your hand if you mess around with even the little things. How many of you understand that? Praise God. So, you know, and I want you to do the best you can to be in every service, because you don't know when the Lord's going to come and give you something tremendous that's going to change your lives. And I believe that the anointing of increase already changed many lives. If you have been affected positively by the anointing of increase, I want you to give the Lord a big hand clap here this morning. Praise God. And I have seen that among many couples, young couples and so forth, this financial stress creates a lot of problems.
Amen.
You know, people fight and so forth because of this money issue. You know, save yourself all this headache to start with. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And look, folks, in closing, let me tell you this. You are living your life for yourself. You don't need to impress anybody.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, some people are always trying to impress somebody. You buy a big car, buy a big house, buy a big this, buy a big that, and so forth. And then you end up in the choked, you know. You're almost dying. You know, who are you trying to impress? You know, don't need to impress them. Just go at your own pace. Don't be like the Joneses. Don't be like anybody else. Go at your own pace, and God is going to bless you.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Go at your own pace. Amen. You know. And here's the deal. Here's the way I've done it now. See, if I can't pay for it, then I can't afford it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't even think about it. If I cannot just bring the money and pay for it and walk away, then I cannot afford it. That's it. And if I can't afford it, I remove my eye from it. It's as simple as that. I don't worry about it. You know, when it's time for me to have it, I will be able to pay for it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, since 1987, God has kept me out of debt. Hallelujah. That's something worth celebrating. Amen? Praise God. You know, and if you want real advice, you talk to somebody who is out of debt. You know. It's kind of like trying to keep your marriage together and you're talking to somebody who's been divorced 4 or 5 times. That's not going to work. So if you want some real advice, as a man of God in this church, you know, most of us, we've kept our finances straight. I know I've kept my finances straight. Praise God. So I can help you on that and so forth. And you will be a much happier person. You will have fewer fights with your wife or your husband. Over all these things that don't matter and so on. Praise God. You know, and then, you know, you will have plenty, you know, to take care of yourself and extra too. Amen. And remember, keep those extras for yourself. And if you are out of debt, if you are no more, you know, God has helped you. Let's say you don't owe money on anything. Pay yourself that money that you would have paid somebody else. Amen. Every month, write yourself a check. Now put it in your savings.
Amen.
If you used to pay $500 on your car and you don't have it anymore, then, you know, and if you still have that extra $500, don't go to Las Vegas or some other place and just squander it. Put that $500 right into yourself, put it in savings.
Amen.
Because 8 months down the road, you may lose your job. Hello?
Amen.
And God, that's why he's giving you the increase right now. Praise God. Praise God. Do you now understand these things?
Yeah.
Jesus used to ask them, do you now understand these things?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help you and give you understanding. And I'm going to ask him to help you to walk the right path and do that which is right in his sight. And I'm going to ask him to help you, you know, to help you get out of debt. Those of you who are in debt, remember what the message of the anointing of increase said. If you follow that, he will help you to get out of debt. And once you're out of there, you stay out of there. Lift up your hands, everybody, and let's pray. Father, Lord, look at your people. These are your people. Hallelujah. Keep, Holy Father, through thine own name, those who are here lifting up their hands, because they are yours. And help every one of them, those who are in financial difficulty, break every chain that is holding them back. And help them to walk free of this indebtedness to financial this and that. Let them be free indeed in Jesus' mighty name. Give them the wisdom of how to do it and teach them the way that they should go. Instruct them on how to plan ahead and help every one of them, Lord, that they will have a better life, an abundant life. Hallelujah. That the enemy shall not exact upon you. The financial giant of death shall not crush you down. You will be above only and never be me. The Lord is good. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Any other announcements?
We just need to announce and let us know that Pastor Emmanuel lost his mother in Nigeria. You know, give my heart some comfort and words. He's the only son of his mom. So, remember in your prayer. And also, we shall be having a memorial service in honor here and the gates and all that stuff. We'll hear about it in your way. Alright, so give my heart and feel proud for him. He's under God to a lot of challenges for the last years. So we'll just join in prayer for the family. It's 6:30, most of all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for worship, you Lord, because to this purpose, you have prepared us. We commit him.